You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Continuing our look at what it is like to live from paycheck to paycheck, to be among the ranks of the working poor in Michigan trying to move up the income ladder. Mary Hornbeck and her husband live in Albion. They're raising three kids, relying heavily on disability payments and food stamps to augment the money that Mary's husband brings in with his small landscaping and snow removal business. And at the same time, they have to hear judgmental, disapproving comments. Mary Hornbeck is here with us now from our home in Albion. Mary, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us, Mary, a little about your family. I know you're a wife and mom. How many kids do you have and how old are they?
I have three kids and a stepson, so technically four kids. My oldest is 16. I have a 14-year-old, and then I have an 11-year-old, and then a 13-year-old stepson.
That is very, very busy.
Oh, yes, definitely. When three of them are boys and one girl. So, oh, yeah, definitely keeps me on my feet and keeps me going.
So take us through a typical day in your life. I'm wondering, what are your biggest challenges and what things come up that you're most worried about?
Well, with my 16-year-old son, he has four rare blood disorders. So every day I worry about him breaking a bone or if he cuts himself open, how quick can I get to a hospital or how quick can I get to U of M? Every day is a challenge with my 14-year-old autistic son, not knowing if it's going to be a good day or a bad day, if he's going to have an anxiety attack or if he's not, or if something's not going to work out right or not. Always worried about that.
And that is a hard thing for a mom to juggle when you have kids that have some special needs. You want everybody to feel like they've got a part of you, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I try to balance out between my kids and helping my husband with his self-independent job that he's trying to kick off and get going. And my kids and everything, I just try to do everything for everyone.
Yes. Tell us about your husband and what he does.
My husband, he has a cognitive impairment. He's been in learning disabilities since he was young. He does landscape and he helps out older people and people on disability and everything who can't get out there and do the properties and does the property for them, how they want it done, from weed whacking to cutting grass, cutting down trees, removing bushes. He does it for a very fair, cheap price to where it covers his gas at least and still lets him come home with a few bucks in his pocket.
So what do you live on?
We skate by every month on my disability because I have a spine disease. And then what he brings in, we also just try to do odd jobs here and there just to make it by throughout the whole entire month.
And then what about any support programs that you use?
I work with Mista on my rental right now to help me with my rental house that I'm in. And I also like DHS help, but that's been a struggle since I've moved down here.
How about assistance with food?
I get food stamps from DHS.
So I'm kind of curious how much money comes in every month, and even more importantly, what's left after you pay the bills, Mary?
I bring in about $2,000 a month income-wise for disability and everything. But by the time I pay bills and whatnot, I'm left with only $400 to make it throughout the whole entire month. But that $400 I use towards buying groceries and my household stuff for the home, like toilet paper and cleaners and laundry soap. I try to get that stuff and buy that stuff with just that $400 because I only get $200 in food stamps in the middle or almost at the end of the month, and that barely feeds a home of six people.
And especially when you're talking teenage boys, we know that they're just bottomless pits, the way they eat.
Oh, yeah. My 16-year-old, we let him eat as much as he wants because right now he's struggling with gaining weight, and U of M Hospital doesn't know why. So we let him eat as much as he want. But, yeah, trust me, boys, they can definitely eat you out of house and home.
So, Mary, what happens at some point when some unexpected expense comes up, as they always do, and there just isn't enough to go around?
One of us makes a sacrifice, and, like, right now we're doing it. My husband needs his truck for his business. So that's in the shop going to get repaired to where my vehicle, I have the engines going in it and I can't come up with the money to repair it. So I'm making the sacrifice of losing out on one vehicle in order for my husband's company vehicle to be repaired and taken care of to where he still can at least make some extra money throughout the month.
Do you get support, and I'm not even thinking necessarily in terms of dollars and cents, but even just kind of, you know, psychological support, we're kind of here with you. Is there anyone kind of there to support you, or is it pretty much you and your husband going it alone?
Pretty much just me and my husband. My father lives in Florida. His mom lives nearby, but we don't rely on her because she has a lot of things in her life that are been stressful to her. And my mother has been deceased since 2010. So it's just been kind of both of us been there to support each other.
I can imagine that there are moments when it feels like everything's closing in.
Oh, yeah. It's almost every day for us like that, kind of.
What do you do when those feelings come?
We just buckle down and make plans and decide what we're going to do tomorrow to change it, to make it better. And sometimes just forget about the stress and the struggles that we're having and just pack up the kids and go to the beach just to see them smile and giggle and laugh, and that they don't sit there and worry about, are we going to have a home to live in next month? Are our bills going to be paid? Are we going to have a vehicle? You know, we just get out and make sure that they don't have to ever worry about those stresses and that we take on that.
Mary, I'm wondering, if people find out that you're on government assistance, what kind of response do you get?
We get cut down, or people look at us and say, well, how do you like living off of our tax money? Our tax money is what's paying for you and is what helping you out. Why can't you get out and get a real job? Why can't you hold down a real job?
How does that make you feel?
Oh, it makes me sick that people could talk to us like that. But I ignore it, and I don't let what they have to say bother me nor my family.
When you look to the future, how do you see things working out, and what are your hopes for you personally and for your family?
I'm hoping in the future that our self-business will do better and we could start depending more on that. I'm hoping to get off a lot of government programs to where I don't have to depend on them. I would love more than anything to purchase my own first-time home to where I don't have to worry about if something happens to me that my family's out on the streets because I'm no longer living and my programs won't be covering them a home to live in, and that I can guarantee them a place to live in and to grow into even if I'm no longer around.
When you hear comments, Mary, from people who kind of imply, well, someone's on food stamps or government assistance and they're lazy, what do you want to say to people who hold that point of view? How do you set them straight?
I think people like that are wrong and they should live a life in the footsteps of people like me and others who struggle day in and day out and try to make a living and can't, you know, when they don't have the necessary abilities to work or the access to do those things and to live life like those people.
Do you feel that the people who make decisions and policies in our state have an understanding of the challenges that you and your family are up against?
No.
Why?
Because they've come from a steady high class of living that they never had to just live off of bologna and mustard for most of their life, or worry about where their next bed's going to be at, or worry about how they're going to get to their doctor's appointment or any of that. They always were able to study, have those needs and necessities to them and given to them since birth, that they never once had to struggle the hardship of it.
Do you believe you'll see a day when you and your husband don't have to struggle as much?
I can only pray. I don't know if I can say I can see it. I'm still right now struggling. Like, my credit score is so bad to where I can't get a home and can't get approved for a loan for a home because DHS had screwed up my daughter's medical. And because of that, I have collections now for my daughter's medical and trying to correct that. And once I correct that, then I can get approved for a loan for a home or even try to. But it's still, if I don't have enough income to do it and everything else, it's still a struggle to where I can't guarantee myself or see myself being able not to stress about that.
Do you see yourself being able to figure out something, even though, as you say, you've got this spinal disability, do you see a path for some kind of training that could give you a job that you feel that you could pull in some good money doing?
Not really, because I've tried. I've even thought about giving up disability and pushing myself to get a job to be able to have more money throughout the month for my family instead of living paycheck to paycheck every month. But then it's also with my spine disease, it's a battle that, okay, if I go get a job, then I take a chance of more of rushing my spine disease to get worse and end up putting me in a wheelchair, or I take it easy now like I am and do work here that I can, here and there that I can, and do what I can to try to make income for my family now and not push myself to be in a wheelchair quicker and faster.
What do you do to find moments of happiness and togetherness with your family?
Just anything from weekend movie nights with the kids and popcorn, sitting watching a movie that they want to watch, or going to the beach and watching them swim or teaching them how to swim, cookouts, just any random things that I could think of just to get them out of home and get them out and get them adventurous, going to family members' farm so they could see the cows and everything and just go out there and be out of the house and just have fun and do anything.
It does strike me as we're talking that you're tough.
Oh, yeah.
And is that always been your way, or have you had to learn to be that way?
I had to learn to be this way, to do what you have to do for your family and to fight for what you want in life and to work hard for what you want. Since I was little, my mother looked at me when I was 13 and said, if you want the different name brand of clothes or you want to eat something different in the house, you need to get out and get a job. And so at 13 years old, I went and held down two babysitting jobs, and then I started working at a department store, and I just kept going up from there to make my own, to bring in my own school supplies, my own clothes, everything that I've had to do for myself. And so that's how I've been.
Mary, how do you and your husband try to prepare your kids to build a better life for themselves?
Always encourage them that they can do anything. Don't let anybody tell you you can't. You know, you can't be a police officer, or you can't go to college, or you can't, you know, be a teacher. You know, you keep pushing yourself to do what you want to do. Don't let anybody ever stop you and tell you you can't.
Mary Hornbeck, we want to thank you very much for sharing your story and your family's story with us. Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.